This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Our scripture is taken from Psalm chapter 32, verses 1 through 7. We will read responsively. The one whose wrongdoing is forgiven, whose sin is covered over, is truly happy. The one the Lord doesn't consider guilty, in whose spirit there is no dishonesty, that one is truly happy. When I kept quiet, my bones wore out. I was groaning all day long, every day, every night, because your hand was heavy upon me. My energy was sapped as if in a summer drought. So I admitted my sin to you. I didn't conceal my guilt. I'll confess my sins to the Lord, is what I said. Then you remove the guilt of my sin. That's why all the faithful should praise to you during troubled times, so that a great flood of water won't reach them. You are my secret hideout. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of rescue.
Today's gospel reading is from Luke's gospel, the 19th chapter, the first 10 verses. Listen for the word of the Lord. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be a guest in the house of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. The human one came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning. Does anybody know what this is? You know what's in here? Do you know what this is? Binoculars, yeah. What do we use binoculars for? We use them to be able to see things far away. So out in the narthex, you can see those. There's some plaques out there next to the office door through the window. Can you read what is on that plaque? No, neither can I. It's way too fine a print. I know those are recognizing all the people who have been members here 50 years or more. So whenever we have a 50-year member recognition, people get their name put up there. Do you think maybe if you look through this, see if you can see, read any of those names? Can you read any of the names? Oh, it helps if we take the covers off, doesn't it? Tried tricking him. He figured it out quickly. Can you read them with that yet, or... Not quite, huh? It's still pretty tiny print over there. But you can see other things, right? Yeah. So we use binoculars, telescopes, things like that to be able to see things far away. Back in Jesus' day, they didn't have that. So Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to find out who is this guy. And apparently Zacchaeus was really short. Do you guys ever have situations being short that you can't see around the crowd? Maybe here on Sunday morning when everybody stands up in front of you, you probably can't read anything on the screen, can you? You can't see things. So you have to kind of lean back and forth. And if you're sitting way in the back of the sanctuary, there's a lot of people to look through, isn't there? That's kind of what Zacchaeus was doing. So in Israel, they have these sycamore trees, and they're not like the nice maple trees out front. The sycamore trees typically have a trunk that's more of an angle, so it's easy to just jump on it and climb up. You can just walk up it at an angle, and all of a sudden, even though he was really short, he was up above the crowd, and he could see a long ways off. If he would have had binoculars, he probably would have had a pair of binoculars to be able to see. But then Jesus came up, and he saw Zacchaeus, and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down." And he went over to Zacchaeus' house. Do you think Zacchaeus was expecting that? Probably not. What would happen if I were to tell one of you, "I'm going to come over to your house for lunch today"? Would that be exciting? You have a meal all prepared for me, right? Probably not. Imagine all of a sudden Jesus comes over there and Zacchaeus welcomes him in, showed him hospitality. He wanted to get to know Jesus, and obviously Jesus wanted to get to know him better. We don't need binoculars to be able to see Jesus. We can see Jesus all around us. If you take a look around the congregation, I can see Jesus in every single person here. I see Jesus in you. Every time that you do something nice, that you help somebody out, that's showing God's love, compassion, help to other people. That's how people get to see Jesus in us. And that's how we can welcome Jesus into our homes, is just by doing nice things and welcoming others, helping other people out. So we don't need to be looking for him with binoculars or climbing trees. We just need to be nice to everyone else. And then Jesus says, what we've done to the least of these, to any other person, we've done that to Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you are present in our midst, and I thank you that we can see you and we can feel your presence in a powerful way. I ask that you be with these kids, help them to understand who you are and to be able to know your presence. Lord, help them to welcome you and to do kind things for you as they continue to serve others, doing the simple things of helping out friends, holding doors, or smiling. Lord, allow us all to learn to look for you, knowing that you are looking for us. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. At one point in my life, I was helping out and working at a Christian camp up in Minnesota and got connected in there, just looking to volunteer, started working more and more. And as I was there, the director of the camp had been hurt when he was about 27 years old. His dad's construction company is where he was working, and he was working on a great big scraper. And over lunch break, and the person who was driving the scraper that day forgot their lunchbox up in the scraper. And as Bob went in to do some maintenance on it quickly over lunch break, they bumped the lever, and the whole scraper fell down on him and broke his back, and he was paralyzed. At age 27, he was a star wrestler. That was his goal in life, is to wrestle. That was his dream. That was life for him. God had other plans for him. He could have become very bitter. Instead, he used that as a way of being able to reach out to people and to help people wrestle with their faith in the midst of tough situations. He went on to become a wheelchair marathon racer. And he would still to this day, they bring in several different camps each summer of wheelchair-bound people to be able to learn how to look at life differently. One of the ways that he coped with this whole situation, he was used to sitting in a wheelchair and having to look up at everybody. And he said, I get it. That's the way life is. He said, you know what I really enjoy? Flying. Well, there's no way he could get a pilot's license, but he had an ultralight. That he could fly legally. And he would take his ultralight up and he would just circle around the area a little bit on a calm morning or a calm evening when there's no wind, just to get up above everything in the world and to look down, to be able to change his perspective. It also reminded him of how God maybe looks down upon us from above. At least that's how we perceive it to be. Our perspective is our point of view. Our perspective is shaped by perception. Perception is what things mean. And what things mean is based on what we believe, our beliefs. So our beliefs change our perception. Our beliefs help us understand what do different things mean. And then when we have a different meaning to something, that changes how we perceive it, the point of view that we look at it. Some people may look at this table and say it's nothing more than wood, clay, fabric. That's it. For us who know the power of the mystery of this holy meal that we are about to be sharing, it takes on an entirely different perception. As I met Bob and he took me up in the ultralight and shared with me why he did that, it helped me. That was probably the starting point of me being able to see ways that I'm all too often guilty of offering some condescending benevolences, as I call them. I try to help people out. I want to be nice. I want to do good things, but I do some of those things in ways that actually reinforce my desire to have control over it or to be superior. Oh, I have something, so I'm going to help somebody else out. I'm going to offer a $20 bill to somebody and, oh, there we go. And if I were more flexible, I could pat myself on the back. We do that all the time. We feel good about helping someone else. But I had a mentor in seminary that, boy, she had a way that was so gentle, so gracious, and yet so stabbing of naming those points. When all too often we as a church are condescendingly benevolent. It's good to be able to help others out, but sometimes we also do it just to keep a distance. Okay, I will write out a check and I'll donate it so I can help them out because I really don't want to get involved. That's going to be messy. And sometimes that's a good thing because if we don't have the right training, the right understanding, we can actually do more harm. We say things that we mean very well, but we actually cause more harm and it hurts. So sometimes we're better off saying, I don't have a clue what it's like, but I want to help. But what are the ways that we as the church together can begin to learn some of those perspectives and learn how do we actually sit with those people in a way that is helpful and beneficial? That's hard. It's hard to give up what we have. There are certain people in life, you might think of St. Francis of Assisi, had a great, rich inheritance, and people were probably not real happy at the time, but he gave it all away, even to the point of taking off his coat and handing it to someone else and saying, "You need this." He was willing to be naked to be able to help someone else out. John Wesley didn't take it quite that far, but he lived a simple life so that he could give money away and be able to help others out. Millard and Linda Fuller became millionaires at late 20s, early 30s, and said, "We need to do something with this," and they started Habitat for Humanity. Now, we need to make sure that we don't fall into that trap of seeing this way of life, of being able to actually do something as a means of salvation. We can't earn our salvation by giving away everything or by doing something, being present with someone else. That's simply accepting that gift that God has given to us. But it's out of a response to what Christ has done for us that we want our lives to be different. And we want to be changed. We repent of the ways that we've lived our life. Many people view today's text through that lens. Zacchaeus changed his ways and became a whole new person. That's a nice, simple way to read this text, to interpret it, to apply it, to preach on it. And when we read it from like our pew Bibles, the New Revised Standard Version, it says, "Zacchaeus stood there," and this is in verse 8, "Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, 'Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much.'" That sounds like it's a change in the way he was. Common English Bible that I read earlier today translates it a little bit differently. That says Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." As if this is already an ongoing practice, not a change for him. And if we look just before that, Zacchaeus came down, welcomed Jesus into his house, and everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "Oh, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner." It's in response to the perceptions of all the people around that Zacchaeus says, "Look, Lord," as if to say, "Lord, you know me. You know I give half away." To me, Luke is including this story, showing how Zacchaeus has already been modeling a way of life that Jesus is calling others to do. It's as if Jesus knew Zacchaeus and knew Zacchaeus was going to be there, that maybe the Holy Spirit had been at work, getting Zacchaeus to climb that tree so that this could be a teaching moment to say, "You all perceive him as a sinner, worthless. Not only is he short in stature, but he's short in social stature as well, being a tax collector, a rich tax collector nonetheless." Maybe Jesus used that as an opportunity to say, "You know what? Just because it looks a certain way, maybe that person is different." Kind of connects back to last week's sermon. We can't just identify people, an entire group. We need to get to know people personally to find out what's really going on in their life. Who are the Zacchaeuses of our day? Lots of possibilities. When we think about giving half to the poor, I don't think I've ever heard a sermon preached on giving 50% of what God has given to us as a tithe. Tithe is typically 10% of our income, is how the church looks at it. I have read some good biblical interpretations that put a very good argument to the fact that maybe tithing should be more in that 20-something percent range rather than just 10%. But the 10% comes out of the first fruits that God commanded the people to give back. Out of the produce that they were harvesting, they were to give the first tenth back to God as a thank offering, to be redistributed to those who are in need. Can you imagine if we were to use this text as a stewardship sermon? 50%. That should be our goal. Okay, maybe not for us. Maybe, you know, since Zacchaeus was a tax collector, maybe it's only for those rich, high-ranking government officials. We won't go there. But tithing. I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years that struggle with tithing, and they tell me, you know, we get to the end of the month and we don't have any money left. Well, it goes back to first fruits. If we take that off at the very beginning and then come up with a budget after that of the 90% that's left, helps us reshape our life. We either need to cut out some unnecessary expenses or find a little more income to be able to maintain that same life. We also need to factor into that the fact that some people are upside down financially. Their scripture says we need to get debt paid off first so we can give joyfully. And I don't know how many elderly members of the church I've talked to who are frustrated and feel guilty. They can no longer tithe because of medical expenses going up and up and up, and they're on a fixed income. And say, you know, look back over the years. Maybe this is a time that you need to shift your perspective, and it's a time for the church to help you out and to say, what can we do? You have done so much for the kingdom. It's time for us to give back. I encourage you to take a look at your giving. Where are you at? Not just to the church, but to furthering the kingdom. And if you're asking questions about, well, is this off of gross or net income? You're missing the entire thing. We're not even going to go there. Wherever you're at, I encourage you to strive to increase a little bit, little at a time. I'm guessing that's probably what happened with Zacchaeus. Little by little, he realized, you know what? These are my people that I'm taking taxes from them to give to the Roman government, and I feel guilty. It's not how I should be living. And he would give back out of the excess that he had. And those people who were in need, he would help them out. And if he realized that he had offended someone and he had wrongfully taken too much, he paid him back four times as much. How do we as a church become like Zacchaeus? How do we be able to begin to find those ways in our life that we can repent and to say, you know, I need to make some changes? And how do we as a congregation, as God's people, engage in these conversations together openly without shame and guilt and condemnation? Those are the questions we need to wrestle with. We need to ask ourselves, what are my perceptions of all these other people that I come in contact with? What are their perceptions of me? And how do we sit down together and really learn what it is that is important in God's eyes, and how does God perceive us? To ask those questions openly, lovingly, and willing to make some change if needed, or willing to be able to say, you know, I give 50% of everything. I have been blessed beyond measure. And not have that used against us. What is it about our life that if Jesus came here right now in our presence and said, I'm coming to your house today for lunch, or in the middle of the week, in the middle of whatever groups, events that you're a part of, work, if Jesus showed up in the midst of that and said, hey, friend, I'm coming to your house tonight for supper. Would you be prepared to welcome Jesus in? Show hospitality? What is it about our life, our lifestyle, that maybe the Holy Spirit is nudging us and saying, you really need to make this change. You need to become a little more like Zacchaeus or a little more like the disciples, a little more like Jesus. May our perceptions of faith become more honest with one another. May our perceptions of faith become more transparent to those that we trust. May our perceptions of faith become more biblical as well. May our perceptions of faith become the perceptions that God wants us to have. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.